Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Okay, put on mute.
Right. Yeah, you're on mute. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, tonight's year is sponsored by Hadley in memory of his father. His yahrzeit is Sunday.
Sunday.
And I'm Yitzhak Usher with Moshe. Shalom Shalom Aliyah. And I guess we have some pre-Purim treats here. Take the opportunity, as I always do, I mention again, to invite everybody who's around on Purim to stop at my home if the schedule permits, anytime on Purim afternoon between 2 and 4. Everything's a little later this year because next month is Purim afternoon between 2:15 and 4.
What?
To stop at my house. No, as a matter of fact, it's a little later this year because we changed the clocks. Month of Shabbos before Purim. Next month is Shabbos, so I usually schedule this thing for the afternoon after Mincha. So regularly we daven Mincha around 1, but this year you can't daven Mincha 1. So early Mincha is 1:45, so about 2:15 to 4. I have some singing, I have somebody coming playing a keyboard, and everyone's my wife hopefully will make the Lashon Kol. So everybody's invited to attend. Okay, meanwhile, this Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, we begin the second half, so to speak, of Sefer Shmos, which deals in the main with the matters relating to the building of the Mishkan and all of the different parts of the Mishkan. And towards the beginning, it says in Perek Chof Hei of Shmos Pasuk Ches, the famous Pasuk, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'sochan. I do may build a mikdash, and I will dwell in the midst of the people. And that's the tzivui, to build the Mishkan, subsequently to build the Beis HaMikdash. I look in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah says, say Chof, excuse me, and in the Sefer Chinuch, in there are chinuch as mitzvah tzadi hei and etc. And both count as a mitzvah, the one of the tayag mitzvahs, to build the Beis HaMikdosh. First the Mishkan, then suddenly the Beis HaMikdosh. There is a famous pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Gud Aleph, pasuk Tes Zayin, which describes every shul and every Beis Medrash as a mikdosh ma'ad, v'elohem mikdosh ma'ad. That's a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel. I remind you that Yechezkel was a Navi who prophesied to Jewish people in Bavel. He was the one Navi who prophesied to the people outside of Eretz, so not counting Moshe before they left Mitzrayim. I mean, basically in terms of his Nevuah, Yechezkel was among those Jews who was exiled 11 years before the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. Mordechai was part of that as well, according to the simple reading of the Pasuk in Megillas Esther. Mordechai from Purim was also among that exile, because they Chazal tell us, based on a Pasuk, that 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, the Babylonian king conquered Yerushalayim. He left sort of like a puppet government, you know, in place, but most of the upper class, you know, the Talmid Chachamim and the wealthy, those of the upper class were taken away, including Yechezkel and Chesron Avi and Mordechai from the Shushan. Mordechai went eventually ended up becoming famous in Shushan, but he was among Asher Hag. That's a pasuk at the beginning of Megillas Esther in the second parak. When we first introduced Mordechai, we read that pasuk in the Eichot Trump. You know, Mordechai was exiled at that time. Anyway, so Yechezkel was in Babel, and Yechezkel prophesied that every, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be like a miniature Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Megillah, and the Chav Tessim, and I was not going to be inside, because it was just introductory remarks, but the Gemara understands that that's an indication that every Beis HaMikdash, every Beis HaKnesses rather, and every Beis HaMedrash in Babel and everywhere else, has a status in a miniature way of the Beis HaMikdash. As a matter of fact, the Sefer Yerayim, which is from one of the Balei HaTosfos, we've mentioned many times in the past, so Balei HaMitzvos, he has a Sefer HaMitzvos, which I have a copy that was falling apart, okay, and this is the old edition, as might be able to tell. There are actually two different editions of the Urayim, two different editions of the Urayim, and so there's two different arrangements of these Simonim. So this is the older edition, it's Simon Shin Chof Dalet, and there he says, based on that Gemara, in Maseches Megillah, that, you know, we have a commandment in the Torah, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, it says, Mikdashi Tiro, to show reverence for the place of the Beis HaMikdash. He says it's not only true of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not really showing reverence to the place, but rather to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Lo min HaMikdash HaTayore, Ela Mimisha Hizir HaMikdash, right? He who, you know, commanded concerning the Beis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Firish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umatsino BeBeis HaKnesses UBeis HaMedrash Nikru Mikdash. He says, we find that every shul and every Beis HaMedrash is also called a Mikdash. And he has a pasuk in Chumash over there. When it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to punish the Jewish people by laying waste to the mikdash, doesn't lay on the mikdash, it means what they can see is about to address. That's a medrash in Parshat Kosai. And Varmina Megillah, Parak B'nai Yer, the Gemara just referred to in Parak Chof Tes, Pasuk Aleph, he writes, "Va'elan mikvash ba'at paritzos yadachim shom." Aritzo elu batei kneisu bajin shabavo lamadnu. And therefore, he says, when the Torah says to show reverence for the mikdash, it's not only for the Beis HaMikdash, the Temple of Yerushalayim, but every shul, there's a dinim of a shul has kedusha. Beis HaMikdash has kedusha. Every Beis HaKnesset has kedusha to it. Okay, and therefore he seems to assume the Yerayim does that the mitzvah is oraisa. So every mikdash ma'at, every shul, and every Beis HaKnesset in Bovel, any place else, has the status of a mikdash in a certain sense, and therefore there's a requirement to show proper reverence. That's why we have many dinim.
So
what's that?
What if it's a shul that doesn't have a sefer Torah, or somebody's living on the
shul? Right, so again, we're talking here about someone who's built as a shul. Okay, and it's used as a shul, as opposed to say, sometimes a davening in somebody's house. That's not a shul, it's a house. Okay, there's still kedusha. There's also an independent requirement to have respect for the Sefer Torah. You know, but in terms of the place, it's set aside as a shul. That's what's built as. Okay? Now, all right, so that's just kind of like introductory background information. I'd like to discuss this evening a din. We discussed it briefly as part of something else in the past. But there's a very interesting Gemara in Shabbos. And if you're Aleph Mid Aleph. Mar says on top of the page, and it's a very interesting comment. Mar says, I can get to it here. Here we go. Mar says, "Amar Rava bar Mechasya, Amar Chama bar Guria, Amar Rav. Kol ir shegagosel givon beis haknesses l'sof charva. Every town or city where the roofs, where the rooftops, are higher than that of the shul, where the private homes are bigger, taller." Higher than the shul, is that the city that's going to be destroyed? What's that? I guess once on Thursday, not sure. Yeah. Right, so I want to go into further detail a few more things now. I mean, that's a bunch of years ago. No? Yeah. So that's what we have to see. Okay? So what exactly does this mean? Okay? Again, as I said, we've talked about different aspects of it in the past. I want to go into some other details, and there'll be some overlap, but it's been a while, I think. It was a while back, though. No? I was trying to find my notes and couldn't find it. It was quite a while ago, no? Anyway, so that's what it says. Kol ir shegagoseh govei shaknes, sof charva, shenemar, a pasuk in Ezra. Perek test, pasuk test. Ezra, perek test, pasuk test. It says, l'romeim es beis elokeinu, l'hamid es charvoso. That's the first set of the pasuk. Is there a whole Tanakh there? Maybe say for Ezra, maybe there's a Navi there, because it's worth reading the whole pasuk. It might be behind on the
right.
Oh, okay, good start. Thank you. So, so that's a question. We'll get to it in 2 minutes. We'll get to try and get to find out what the din is. Okay, well, so I'll read you the Pasuk and Sefer Ezra. Perek test, Pasuk test. Here it is. Rome is the middle of the whole pasuk begins. Kiavodim anachnu. Okay, but the Rome is basically elokeinu ulahamid es charvoso. The law says lano goder b'yehuda v'rishlaim. We have a responsibility, the Rome, to elevate base elokeinu ulahamid es charvoso and to rebuild the ruins. Okay, remember Ezra's beginning of the Bayashani period. The law says lano goder and to build a fence. Or protective gate in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. That's the entire puzzle. So, what exactly is going on here? So, Rashi says, L'romein beis elokeinu, you put the two psalter puzzles together. When you elevate the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayidei Kain, Zochinu, L'osei Sonu, God there Yehuda, will be protected. There'll be a wall. There'll be a protective fence around where we live. Right? And the implication, therefore, is that that's what I said. If the shul is not, it's not the Roman base of Elokeinu, your house of God is not the highest, then you're not going to be zochet to that protective fence, and the enemies will come in, the city will be laid waste. That's the light of the lumbus, so to speak. That's the lumbus of Rashi, right? Of the pasuk. Obviously, it's like base of Elokeinu. All right, so that is at least the way Rashi learns. Okay? Yeah, the Rif on that Gemara on Shabbos learns it a little differently. I mean, it's a slight, again, it's not a big deal, but the Rif is, is the first part of Shabbos. So, find it back here. I can't wait for a chance to mark things off here. My apologies. The way that the roof presents it, here it is. Why can I find it now? Yeah, here it is. The riff is on page Dalam Bay, the page of the riff. He says, Amarab Machasam Rakama Bagura, Amarab Kalisha Sagov Harim Snam Alom says Kenal Sol Perish Kishem Samarom and Basil Kemo Kano Mamidas Harvoso Kahmisha Aino Rom Basil Kano Machim is Omi. He has a different lambda. So as the Rashi learns it, he looks at the second half of the pasuk. Right, with the puzzle, the drawer is a quote, it's a long puzzle, but the end words after it says, Rom Beis El Kane, Laham is Chavos, it says, Los is Son of God there, Behud Rusham, God meaning a friend, a protective. The riff ignores that part. He says, because the Gemara doesn't quote that part of the puzzle. The Gemara just quotes, Rom Beis El Kane, Laham is Chavos. So when you're Rom Beis El Kane, the result will be you'll lift up, Laham, lift up that which is destroyed. So the implication is if you're not Meron Beis El Kano, you'll destroy that which is lifted up, right? You'll destroy that which is present. So whatever. So it's a little bit of a different way of learning, but the same general idea. It's not a good thing. Okay, that's for sure. It's not a good thing. We have the shul for the Beis El Kano, so to speak, lower than the shul. Now, it's interesting. Gemara continues. Amar of Ashi. Okay, I'm sorry, but then the Gemara says, more important, Hanimili Bibatin. That's houses. Houses shouldn't be higher than shul. Aval b'kashkushev avruei less lambo. Two difficult words to translate, and a different interpretation of what it means. Look at Rashi. Kashkushev avruei bironios umigdalim. I would say like forts, towers. Okay, forts and towers. And the idea is that things which are built, not for living, but for, you know, you have to have a tower so you can see if the enemy's coming, something to protect the city. That's not a dwelling place. That's okay. That can be higher than the shul. Or some kind of a military outpost, that can be higher than the shul. That's a simple reading. Okay? Oh, very good. That's right. Exactly. We'll see. So says, we'll come back to that. The other interpretation of what that word, on the side of the page, they print the Aruch, who says Arui is a wall itself. The wall around the city can be higher. Again, that's the same idea. All right, the wall, a fortress, that kind of thing. Then the Gemara says, Omer of Ashi, Ano Abde Lemasa Mechasya Delo Chorva. Okay? I saw to it that the city Masa Mechasya was not destroyed. The Gemara says, yeah, but it was destroyed at the end. Yeah, but that's because of different things. Not because of this. Well, what's going on? So Rashi explains, Rav Ashi, Rosh Hashiva, Ha'ar Masa Mechasya. Rav Ashi was Masa Mechasya, the famous city in Babel. So he says, Rav Ashi was Rosh Hashiva in that city. And he saw to it that nobody built homes higher than Shul. And therefore, the city was protected. Eventually, the sway could be different out there, whatever that area was. Okay?
It's not just the
okay.
City.
Yeah.
It should be covered.
Grander, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So anyway, that's how Rashi says. On the side of the page you have Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Omer of Ashi, Ano Agos Hashi, Sheikh Bati, as Beis HaKnesses, Lamala Mikol Gag. People were building big houses, I elevated the height of the shul. Not that he told everyone to keep lower. The people built more extravagant houses, but he elevated the height of the shul. Either way, he prevented saved the city of Masan Chasim, at least temporarily. Okay. Now that's that. Now, what exactly is this business, and what can we learn from this business about the fortresses and the towers? Because at the end of the day, this is a Gemara, as we'll see shortly. The Rambam paskens like this Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch paskens Gemara. It's a regular din that you're not supposed to have houses in a community higher than the shul, and yet nobody seems to follow that. We're not concerned about it. Doesn't even come into anybody's thinking, and it's what. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons we'll see. But the problem is, no one, Eretz Yisrael, they're also not careful about it. And people never seem to be careful about it.
But the Sephardim are very into like making this like very covetous.
Okay.
And like, Ashkenazim, we have like Shtiva. Like,
okay.
How do we get away with these like
messy Shtiva? Yeah. It should be messy, that's for sure. But okay, we'll try to talk about it. I don't get the gag. But I want to try and understand. And it's not just now, it's been for a while, and in Eretz Yisrael too, and now in Eretz Yisrael, we're in control, and we still don't see that this didn't seem to have fallen by the boards. Okay? What's that? Well, let's see. Yeah, but we have many buildings are bigger. Maybe private homes are bigger than the shul.
It's all apartments, they're all bigger.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what's going on? And I'm saying even, you know, it doesn't seem to be in anybody's thinking. So what's going on? So, and, you know, we spoke about it in the past. So the side of the page here in Shabbos and Aleph and Aleph, you have the Tosis Yishanim, okay, a different collection of Balei Tosis. And it says here, Amar Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Hani Gagin Didan Kekashkushe Damyan. It's an interesting interpretation. What's the idea of these fortresses and towers? Okay, the issue is, apparently, according to what he understands it, using the roof. It's not a matter so much of the building. Okay, the building, if I'm saying correctly, the building can be taller or shorter, but when you use the roof, in the olden days, people used to have activities on the roof, okay, and because the roofs were flat. You know, you've seen diagrams of, you know, the olden days, especially in the Middle East, a lot of the roofs were flat. And people used to be, case in the Gemara, people stored stuff on the roof and, you know, dry the fruit on the roof. We have Gemaras about that. People dry their fruit. Look, at Eretz Yisrael, you know, Pesach, Sukkot, Pesach doesn't rain, you know, so they have, people had activities. I don't know, the whole idea of making a makkah, a fence, was because there were people up there, okay? Our roofs here are slanted, right? They're not out there too much, you know. I told you in the past, you know, one of the things my son Yosef was littler, so he used to like to climb out onto the roof. And it was dangerous and that, but okay, you know, we sometimes get a phone call, you know, your son's on the roof, it's like people jogging by, you know. So no matter what these special windows, yeah, he got out. And I finally made a deal with him, because once a year, and now he's already adult, but he still do once a year on Erev Sukkot, okay, because the way my Sukkot is built, so I can go out onto one of the roofs opposite where the Sukkot is and kind of fix the bamboo, you know, get a place and so on. So I go out with him once. So I don't need to go anymore. It's okay, but he wants the big excitement for him. But anyway, people use their roofs all the time. You have to be careful. It's slanted now. But, when my brother-in-law first got into Tchelis business, okay, yeah, you saw, yeah, we have a good share of my shul, 430. But those are interested, my brother-in-law, the expert on Tchelis, he made a share of my shul, 430, on Tchelis. He'd bring it with him. They made a me'il, the Kohen Gadol's me'il. They actually, it was out of Tchelis. They made a, you know, a replica of the me'il. It'd be interesting if you brought it back to yourself, so it'll be hands-on. But anyway, we'll mention that later a little more. So they used to dry the Tchelis and the dye on the roof. The problem is it's, you know, it comes from the sea creatures. It stunk of dead fish, you know. I found my sister said enough. But anyway, the people use the roofs in Eretz Yisrael. So that seems to be the issue here, that, you know, it's not just a matter of the building, and that's what really maybe the issue at hand is it a din in covered for the shul, or is it a din in avoiding bizayon for the shul? Meaning, if people are out on their roofs and they do stuff, and the shul, you know, some of the people on the top of the shul roof are putting stuff in the shul up there, and you're higher up and kind of looking down, that's a bizayon to the shul. Right? That's a bizayon to the shul. That's why, that's what the Tosis Yishanim say, these towers and stuff, they didn't use the roof. So nobody was there looking down outside. So that's why it was wrong. You follow? It's not that we thought, that's the Pashup Shat Negevar. Oh, they're for the protection of the city. Like you said, it's not for noise, it's not for beautification, it's to be able to spot the enemy from a distance. But the way that the Tosis Yishanim quotes it, he says again, Amar Benu Yaakov, and it might be Benu Tam, probably Benu Tam was called Yaakov, Yaakov Yishanim, the Hani Gagan Didan Ki Kashkush, our roofs today, and this is where the Tosis Yishanim, Bali Tosis live, is like the Kashkush of the Lefisha Ein Mishtamish Aleim, Kemosha Gil Mishtamish Al Gogosem Mechachamim. People don't use them the way they used to in the days of the Gemara. And I guess it's a climate issue also. The Middle East, you know, by us it can always rain. So we're going to do what you want to leave stuff on a roof for 2 days. It'll be ruined. It'll rain. You know, and it's a, it doesn't rain from Sukkot to Pesach, right? So, I mean, from the Pesach to Sukkot. Anyway, well, if he's there, and therefore he says, Ain't Sarech Lahagbiya Besakneses Yosha Mishar Gagin. We today, that's why the din is not for them doing gullahs. He says, the reason doesn't apply. In other words, what you're trying to do is avoid, it'd be bizarreness for the shul if people are outside on the roofs and they're looking down at the shul. How are you looking down? When you're in your home, okay, and you're indoors and there's a roof you don't go on, the fact that the building may happen to be higher than the shul, so what? That's, you know, that, according to this approach, so what? The way I understand what the Tosafot and Shani is saying, and I don't think I went into this last time, so it's a different angle, okay, that it's a bizarre to the shul to have people outside on the roofs. And by the way, I mean, in the not that distant past, even in, you know, New York City, people used to go into the apartments in the summertime and sit outside because it's so hot, but we had air conditioning, right? I mean, before there was air conditioning. So the summertime, people would brought lounge chairs and whatever else up to the roof of the apartment building in New York City and sat outside. It was cooler, you know, than sitting inside. So, again, if you're going to be up there and the shul is down below, so it looks, so, you know, it's a design a little bit to the shul. But since we don't go out on the roofs anyway, and he said, and that's why the Gemara has the exception of this kashkushe v'abrure, which he said means these towers and so on. Well, they don't use it for that purpose. No one's going outside. And therefore, our roofs today are like that. So that's an approach, at least one approach in the Tosafot Yeshanim, as to why maybe the din doesn't apply to anymore. So you look in the Rush, and that's the Gemara and Shabbos. It's Karak Aleph, the Shabbos, Simon the Chav Gemara, in the Rush. The Rush quotes the Gemara, and he says, yeah, the same thing. He says, "Lafisha ain mishtamsha agadol sein." These biryonos, these towers, no one uses the roof. Okay, and therefore, yeish omer and bebatim shan nami less on bo. If he's saying mishupoyin, it's slanted. Okay, below mishtamsha agadol. However, he says, "Mio hecha the rov hagag gavov esakness is still usher." He thinks that that's not a good enough answer because he says it's still usher if it's taller than the shul. He says, especially kemish mishtamshin ba'aliyah shetachas hagag. Sometimes you have like a patio or some sort of an attic, so it's still not right. V'yesh omrim sheim yeimagbir so kofin lashpilo. You have to force him to knock it down. That's what Rashi said. You know, it didn't mosim chasi, wouldn't allow it. Okay, but the Rosh. And he quotes that Rabbi Nachman said to raise the shul, not lower the people's homes, whichever one it was. But the point is that according to this Rush, doesn't seem to be so convinced of Rabbi Nachman's answer. And it's possible that what surrounds the issue is the question of what is the nature of it. Is it din bizyonis for the shul, or is it is covered? If the shul should be taller because it's covered, so then it's proper. It's not a matter of not using the roof, it's not using the roof. What stands out when you come to town? I mean, Lahavdil, this I think I did point out last time. Yeah, the steeple of the churches, Lahavdil, you know, you drive up the countryside and every little dinky town, they would have a church that's the tallest thing. Right? What's that?
They probably did.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, they used to have a law that no city hall, there's a statue of William Penn.
Yeah.
And no building could be taller than the tip of William Penn's house.
Really? Okay, so there it is.
It was a law.
Okay, so that's the same idea.
And
they got it from us.
Was like a short, I mean, then they made exceptions.
They got it from us.
Physically.
So that's what I mentioned. The same din appears, it's a Gemara, but I was going to show you. It's there in Sefer Ezra, the Yalkut Shimoni. It's based on the Navi. It's on tough race. Number test. It says, L'rom Meisel Keno, Amarov, Marachasim, Marcham, Marguya, Amarov, Kol Irshe, Gosek, Gavos, Meisel Knesset, Sopa, Charva, Shanam, L'rom Meisel Keno, L'rom Meisel So the Medrash also quotes that there's no problem, you know, if it's these towers, and we saw different reasons as to why that would be the case. I just want to point out that in addition to being an Isser, so the Sefer Chassidim, which is written by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, one of the Balei Tosfos, again, we've mentioned many times, nothing to do with Chassidim we speak about today. This is well before the Chassidim of today. You know, the movement, the Hasidic movement in the 1700s, this is, goes back to the 1200s, you know, 500 years earlier. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wrote a Sefer Chassidim, and he also wrote a Tzavor, the famous Tzavor of Yehuda Chassid, which he left his family. And he has a number of very interesting dinim there, or practices. I don't want to minhag him. He quotes, don't do this and don't do that. And one of the famous ones is, this is where he mentions, you shouldn't marry a girl who's got the same name as your mother, or a girl shouldn't marry a man with the name of her father, and how do we get out of it? Some say all these dinim he meant for his own family, it wasn't meant to a whole Kali. So anyway, but these are all things which he feels, you know, somehow there's a sakana to do this, aside from whatever the deal is. So in the Tzavos, when Rura Chassid owes Yud Tes, it says, Lo Yase Adam Beso Gavom Besakneses. He doesn't bring the Gemara that we destroyed this and that. Just don't do it. So according to the Chassid, this is one of those things on the list that is also some kind of a sakana, whatever exactly you understand referring to, but there's some kind of a sakana to it as well. The Rambam is in Hilchot
This started off where it was going on the if the shul wasn't built,
right? But
the shul get destroyed.
No, no, shul meant the whole town. Meant the whole town. Because again, it's a defense. It's the right to protect the fence. It won't save the town. There won't be a protective fence. But right, okay, you can argue which is I did build the shul higher, the home lower. But I only brought a Yehuda Chassid to show you that perhaps, at least according to him, because all those things that he lists have a sakana element to it. However, we understand what exactly the sakana is, but that's what he said. The Rambam appears in Hilchos Tfila, Perek Yud Aleph. Rambam brings this din lehalacha, and he writes Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Tfila. Halacha, base. All right. Kishabonin base haknesses, and is when they build a shul, ain bonin osa elabit gavo shalir. You build it at the highest point of town. Shenemar, of course, a different pasuk. Umagbir osa achiya gavo mikol chatzos seir. You build it in such a way that it'll be taller than everything else in the town. Shenemar, that pasuk in Ezra, ulorom base elokeinu. And that's all. And he doesn't mention any exclusions if it's using it as a tower. But obviously, that's a din. But there are a couple things. Well, that's presumably we're talking about now, right? With Jews under control. That's what you mentioned before. We'll get back to that point. But what I'm trying to point out from the Rambam, I think, is two interesting things. One, he says, Kishabonin Beis HaKnesses. When you build the shul. All right? Meaning you should build the shul at the highest point. Sounds like if after the shul is built and someone raises his, that's not a problem. It's maybe only at the time when you build kishabonin beis haknesses, ain bonus on so on. Umagbir also actually maybe only applies, so to speak, when you're first building the shul. Maybe, okay. Now in Os Gimel, Hagos Maimonides, okay, has a long piece, not that long. So he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, right, and he says Upirish Rabbeinu Tam. So, and that's why I thought that the, what do you call it, Tosi Shon, Yaakov, Rabbi Tam is his nickname, right? His name is Yaakov, Yaakov Yish Tam, so that's called Rabbi Tam. So we find other people also called Rabbi Tam, who were named Yaakov, but he was the Rabbi Tam. Anyway, so the Bagos Mamani quotes Rabbi Tam, like in Tosi Shon, Dafka came down with saying, Shavin and Mishtam Sinwem. And here, he looks at this in his words, the Yesh Bizoyan. It didn't be bizarre, like I said before. Our roofs, which was allowed. Okay? But then he tells a funny story. He says, he's off behind my Sahara, but Trieste, some city in France, I guess. Be'echa mikrovav sheik be a base of a tzilak be a gam base haknesses. Okay? So he said it was some relative is whatever, he built the house higher than the shul, so he said you gotta make the shul higher. They just built one corner of it higher. Okay, there was some kind of post made it higher, and that was enough. That was good enough. So that's an interesting point also, maybe we'll come back to. But that's the Rambam over here. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch mentions this din. Again, I'm trying to point out that this is a din on the books, not just a chumrah, some funny din. Okay, it's a regular din. Appears in the Rambam and appears in Shulchan Aruch. Or Achayim, Siman Chuf Nun Sif Beis. Okay, it says, "Because Sif Beis says Ain Bona Beis Knesses El Begovah Sheir, which is the highest point. Umagbi and Osai Shegavol Mikol Batei Ir Shemistamshin Bahem Lafuke Brionos." Okay, Shemistamshin Bahem. So also Chabur also seems to say it's a matter of usage. And then he writes in the second, the next halacha gimel, Siv gimel, Mishig bi yos veisakles yeshom shekolton as vashpilo. Some say you have to lower it, and or at least maybe put up one side different. Oh, that's the din. Let's put the chair. That's the din as it appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So again, the question is why are we not follow. Why we okay? So we already saw one approach. Oh, it doesn't apply today. But if it didn't cover, then it should still apply today. So a number of different drachim. One is very interesting. Maybe this whole din, at least as the Rambam perhaps understands it, is not meant to be an absolute din. Rather, let's look at the Rambam writes, Hilchos Beis HaBechira. That's the laws of the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim, or the Beis HaMikdash. Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam writes, the Hamitzah min HaMuvchor lechazek es HaBitron, the Beis HaMikdash now. Mitzvah and Abucha, lechazik es abinu, agbiya kivikoch, atzibush nemar, ulurom es beis hamikdash. The Rambam quotes that very same pasuk in Ezra, all right, they're talking about the beis hamikdash itself, that it's proper to elevate it, make sure it's higher. Okay, and actually, the Radvaz quotes the Gemara on Shabbos. Okay, Afilu Beis HaKnesses, certainly the Beis HaMikdash. But notice how the Rambam begins the halacha. You have Perek, this is Perek Aleph, Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, Umitzum in HaMuvchar. This is not an absolute din. In other words, even about the Beis HaMikdash. So, Kavachoma, regular shul, it's proper, it's the right thing. Now, again, the Rambam did not say, did not use the expression Mitzvah and HaMuvchar when talking about the Beis HaKnesses. I don't know. Can you be Medayik? Maybe, you know, it shouldn't be stricter with the shul than with the Beis HaMikdash, unless you could argue, well, no, the Beis HaMikdash already knew its status, you know, a shul not. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that the Rambam had that particular expression. Maybe it's only a mitzvah and a mukha, and I would rather point to the same Gemara. One of the more often quoted Hedderim is that of the Me'iri. The Me'iri, on that Sugi and Shabbos, Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, Me'iri says as follows. Etc. But now he says, well, he was saying what we were saying before. When we call Makom Dafka Bebayas HaAsui LeDira, it's only talking about a home where people live. Avo Bironios Migdalim, these forts or towers, HaAsuim LeChizuk HaIr, okay, or live to like a wall or something like that as protection. It's called Kushkavur Ein B'Zemini Aklau, and now he adds the punchline. V'chein Hadin B'Shesibas Hagboso Eino Derech Srora Ela Harbosa B'Diurim V'Alios. You said about apartment buildings. When the purpose is not to show, you want to build a taller building because you have several floors. You have an apartment building. I was saying before, their apartment buildings in the days of Miri were not like our skyscrapers today, but they had several. But we know in the Gemara, they had a bias aliyah, two people lived upstairs, you know, there were people lived upstairs and downstairs. So says the Me'iri, if your purpose in building a fancy house is not a fancy building that's going to be taller than the shul, is not to make it showy and grand, but rather just giving a living space, okay, then no problem at all, okay? He quotes the Chibur Eitz Sarfa, says again, that's not Gos Minas quotes in the Rosh, and then quoted by the Rosh, and the Gos Minas. He says, Chibur Eitz Sarfa, he says, Dafka of Gaush comes from Ishtam by using the roof, and we don't have a problem. But that's the other one. But the Me'iri has a big Kiddush. Okay, the Me'iri is saying over here that if the purpose of your building the house to that height is to make an apartment building to have increased dwelling places, that's not a problem.
It's not a problem with covenant, but if the Gazillions, then they can see out the window the same way someone can see out a roof.
Very good. So I think that approach is assuming that it's covered. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's two different ways to look at it. I think you're right. I think the Me'iri is saying, that it's a din in covered, and therefore it's not a lack of covered. You're not doing it to show off. Now this won't answer people putting up McMansions. I got that, but at least it'll answer for apartment builders because just have to be more living space. Okay, and it's interesting. There's a tshuva from the Rambam, the different editions of the Rambam's tshuvas. This is the Pe'er Hador edition, and I have it with the commentary of Rav Avadia Yosef. Siman Ayin Dalet. He was asked the following question. This comes up sometimes, especially in the city area. Can somebody live upstairs in a shul? Can you live upstairs, a shul downstairs? Can you live upstairs? Yeah, right. Could you live upstairs in a shul? So he writes, Yochal Lador Rabbais, Aval Amoko Mashallah Hechal Lo, but not right above where the Aron is. That you shouldn't do. Okay?
Above
the shul. Now, I don't want to go into that whole din now, but some ought to be medayik from there. Well, why did the Rambam say, well, what do you mean? How could you have something higher than the shul? By definition, if you're living upstairs, that means it's evidently either we'll say that was mitzvah namukhar, or we'll say, no, that's the raya of the Rambam. The Rambam holds like this Me'iri. If you're doing it for dwelling place, it's okay. So if it's actually in the same building, you've got to be careful trying to, you know, not to sleep. Or you could put other stuff there on top of the Aron. You could put, you know, a closet, but a person shouldn't be up there. Okay, again, I'm not going to that whole din right now. But I am pointing out that the you know, this Rambam is a little bit, perhaps, a little bit of a riot to the Me'iri. Yeah.
Personally. There is a shul in the house that people create meaning.
Right. Yeah, so that's what he asked before we came. And it's very hard to say. I think a private house, that's still a private house, even if people daven, it doesn't have a din of a shul for this purpose. Okay? The room itself where they're davening has kedusha, and if it's a regular minyan, people should use it for, you know. Right. So again, there's a separate din to have kavod for Sefer Torah. There's no doubt they have to have kavod for the Sefer Torah. And I think in these places they should probably put the Sefer Torah away during the week because, you know, the kids play down there and so on and so forth. But so close, so it's not set up as a shul. Again, without going into the details now, even within a shul itself, even a building done as a shul, but sometimes they have a kiddush in there, they have some meetings and the bar mitzvah dinners and whatever else. Whatever else is right. So that was built for that purpose. You shouldn't do those things in the... Right. Yeah. That's right. So most of the shul, the sanctuary, so-called, we call the sanctuary. Now, so that you should not use for other purposes, okay? But if you have a social hall where it was built to be, have a bris there, to have a shul, and also they're going to use it for Hashkavim, they can use it on Yom Noraim or for the youth, that's okay. Right? So a lot of deals. Anyway, that's what I wanted to mention. So just, I'm only saying it could be that this, the Rambam maybe a little bit is like, is like the... is like this Miri. Others don't agree with that. Okay? Others don't agree with that whole Miri. The Mordechai, for example, in the first parak of Shabbos, and remember Reish Chof Ches, it's right in the beginning of the Mordechai and Shabbos, he says, he brings the same thing about Tosfos, says, Dafki Remesh Misham Shal Agagos, Kosev Ein Yodeh Yisur Gomor, he says that he can even use live on top, okay, but not to do kashmir shel gnai. You know, shouldn't be the garbage dump, you know what I'm saying, that kind of thing. Or sleeping there and that kind of thing, that you shouldn't do. But anyway, so he mentions that. All right. So don't do any bizarre things there and so on. But the Kaf HaChaim does say, with due respect, he quotes this, the Kaf HaChaim, the great Sari posting, in this same simon, Kuf Nun, that's where it was in Shofar, Kuf Nun. So Kusim Kuf Nun, in Oschaf Aleph, the Kaf HaChaim quotes the whole Me'iri, and he says, Mashakos Me'iri dim eno derech swara. If you're not doing it to show off, Eloah Harbos Diur, this is a great world living space, he says, Mutter, which is one heter we have, writes the Kaf HaChaim, Ein Kein Das HaPoskim. The Miri is a single, lone gunman. Right? He's a single das yachin, okay. And he says that a kol shul tashmish also. Anything doesn't matter, what you do. So the Kaf HaChaim at least seems to feel that we don't rely on that particular kula. The but if you take a look, it's interesting in the Machzik Brocha. Okay, the Machzik Brocha from the Chidah. I brought it. Machzik Brocha is one of the Chidah's many Svarim in Simon Kuf Nun. In Sivkot and Beis, he quotes the Meiri and he seems to say, he quotes the Meiri and he seems to accept it. So there's two great Sardi Poskim disagreeing whether he's relying on Meiri. Kaf HaChaim says, Ein Kein Das HaPoskim, he lived after the Chidah. The Chidah and the Machzik Brocha, the one in Simon Kuf Nun, says, no, he quotes the Meiri and seems not to disagree. So at least the Meiri gives us something. It's not going to help with our big homes, but it'll certainly help in terms of apartment building. If you go back to the Rambam, so in the one of the commentaries in the Rambam is Rabbeinu Manoach. Sefer Menucha, Rabbeinu Manoach, in most editions of the Rambam, is not printed on the page. Okay, but in the so-called Franco Rambam, he does print the Rabbeinu Manoach on the page. And should we close it? Perek Yud Aleph, of Hilchos Tefila, Halacha Beis, we were looking at before. It is Rabbeinu Manoach, writes as follows. Here it is. Rabbi Manoch writes, "V'achshav nagu, rov mekomos Yisrael livnos beis haknesses b'shval ha'ir." He says, "Nowadays we build the shuls very, very humbly. Okay, and probably the lowest point of town, lower point of town, lower than other things. V'efshar sheniskan ze begolus, mitnei shekininu haroim ki ula yikanu bo." We're going to build this fancy shul So a goyim are going to say, "What, these rich Jews, you know, building the." So therefore, keep it simple. Is that a distinction between Ashkenazi and Sephardic communities? Maybe. Maybe the Jews were persecuting the Ashkenazi communities. Keep a low profile. Okay? I remember, you know, Rabbi Schwab, many years ago, wrote an essay in the, I forget what it was, maybe it was in the Mitteilung or whatever, he wrote an essay about Jews and Gullahs, how high a profile. It was a very important article, I thought. You know, sometimes we stick it to ourselves a little bit. You know, we're in your face so much. So that's what Rabbeinu Manoach, the Rishon, is writing. Maybe they'll be jealous of us and so on. And they saw Secha. And therefore he says, the Had Darmina and the Gwaran Shab is Kalisha. They say, Gwaran Secha, Machina, so lesser. It's not really true anymore. Okay? He says, the Epsha Shal Omer Chachola, Bia Secha, Elabizman, She Yisrael, Shurin Admosam, when we're living in control in our own land, Biyodon Sholetis Mumosom, we have an upper hand, and so on and so forth. Then, okay. All right? You know, other than that, where we are today in Gaulis and so on, keep a lower profile. So, that's right. That will not help. So we're still not all the way through because the mayor is risen some we apply, but I mean, I'm going to also well, apply in Eretz Yisrael today, but we do have the right, we do have the upper hand. So you think of the Belzer based Medrash Yerushalayim, which you can see from everywhere, right?
It's the biggest in the world.
It's pretty big. You can see it all over Yerushalayim. Anyway. But it was modeled after the original shul in Belzer. Anyway, but that is, you know, that Rabbeinu Chanan is an approach. Okay, there are other angles, so to speak. For example, Yaakov Emden in the Sefer Mor Ktsia, his commentary on the tour in that same Simon Kuf Nun, he mentions something else. He talks about. You know, it depends on the layout of the town because there's an Indian to build the shul in the, you know, equidistant of everybody. Yeah, but let's say there's a higher block, like here in Teaneck, the hills and, not every town is flat. So if you're going to build the shul in the middle of the town, so it could be lower than some people's homes, even if the building is smaller, but the guy is on a hill, you know. So he says you have to consider the practicality, bottom line. Yeah, what are you saying?
That's the thing, there's one shul.
We got that too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what some say. There should at least be one shul that's tall above the houses. But anyway, that's what he mentioned.
Yeah, like
right, correct. Okay, so people can come to shul.
There's only one shul.
Yeah.
Like in the ground level and the shul height.
Right. That's what he said. Okay. The Shas Emes, in his commentary to that Gemara and Shabbos, okay, on Daf Yud Aleph, not Gemara, he says this point, Yesh La'ayin Be'ir Gedola, Sheish Kameh, but the Knesset is town is numerous shuls. Isagig b'shagag shal beis haknesset echad gavol migos here. Well, one big shul. Have all these other shibuchot, and one shul will be the grander, fancy building and so on. So that's also a possibility, that he mentions. What's interesting is the Beis Yosef, in his commentary on the tour, not in this simon, but a few simonim later. Okay, a few simonim later. It's in Kuf Nun Dalet. Of Or HaChaim, obviously. The Beis Yosef quotes from Mar Moshe ibn Chaviv. Again, it's in a later sin that comes up, incidentally. It's Oz Beis, the way this is from the Beis Yosef. It's in Kuf Nun Dalet. He says, Moshe ibn Chaviv. Okay, he quotes a few things, including, he says, any building, all right, which... first of all, he speaks about is what some of you were, a temporary shul, not an actual shul, doesn't have kedusha. He says, but then he says the Rambam's lashon is kishabonin beis haknesses. It's only a situation when you're building it as a shul. Kasher bonim osa mitchila bekeva. Okay, and he says the truth is, he talks about in Golas, bismaneinu zeb in Malchus, and where we live now under the government we live in, ain't all rishus has been bias kavul shem beis haknesses. We don't even have the right to his time. We can't establish this building. The government can come any time and take it away. And so we can't. So it never has the permanent status of the shul. Again, that won't work today, necessarily, in the United States of America, anyhow, but at least in and certainly not in Eretz Yisrael, but at least in his time. Okay, he says he says that it's, that was the concern that, that they had. Earlier on, in Kuf Nun, the Ramah quotes this in Simchat Aleph of the Asters, close to Aleph of the Asters, in Simchat Kuf Nun. The Darkei Moshe writes, Kosa B'Yisrael Shem Arim Chaviv, over in Simchat Kuf Nun Dalet, and he quotes the whole thing, so he seems to agree with this also. The Bach has yet another approach. The Bach, also towards the beginning of Simchat Kuf Nun, again, it all bothered why we don't worry about this anymore. He says, Aval Achshav B'Galuseinu, Shadorim be'arels be'en agorim b'seim ha'ad, v'gam miskanim b'ano, they'll be jealous of us, im nivne be'gova mutav l'kaim b'atzvein, l'loma t'yisro, we should hide ourselves, not show off in front of the garbs. He mentions that, l'halocha as well. Just to see in the Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch brings his din, it's in Kuf Nun, it's based in Gimel. So the Magen Avraham has a slightly different approach than the Bach. Again, the Bach's lashon was, we should just keep a low profile. All right, we should keep a low profile. Nature of the Shema V'Dab Brios. A good idea to keep a low profile. The Magen Avraham says it a little bit differently, and again, it's in Kuf Nun. In Sukkot and Beis, Sukkot and Beis, he writes, Tzorach Iyun, first of all, the Achshav Ein Nizharim B'zeh. He wonders why we're not so concerned with this thing nowadays. Literally, they came in the Eish, Ein Ma'as Ha'akum, Ein Roshar Lag V'ya Kol Kach. All right? He says that it's a little different than the Bach. We're just afraid. The Bach says we should be careful not to show off, right? Don't like Rabbi Menoch. Okay, we should be careful not to show off. But the Magen Avraham says we're afraid. Okay, we're afraid we're going to have fights and so on, laws, variance laws, or whatever. Okay, so and then he adds, he says, Tomar so Nashville Botana, so let's shrink our houses. So Yeshlomar, the cave is harbe but the akumba here. What do you mean? The Garisha homes are big palatial structures too. Yeah, certain towns, right? So even if we're gonna have our houses lower, the shul still won't be the highest building in town because the non-Jews will have bigger homes. So it's not gonna accomplish its goal anyways. Again, that's assuming it's covered. If it's a B'Zion issue, maybe it'll still be in effect. Again, those are the two themes that keep running out, keep running through this. Is it a B'Zion, or is it a matter of avoiding B'Zion, or is it a covered? I'm assuming it's a covered, says the Magen Avraham. You don't have the covered anyway, right? Because there are other buildings, other homes. So good, so all the Jews will make sure that their homes are lower down than the shul. Good. But it won't accomplish it because, you know, the guys have going to have larger homes. We'll have it like a cannabis anyway. All right, so that's, he said, but he admits, came nearly lidchok. To me, that's how he can give a pressing answer to this problem. But he is worried about it. Not so thrilled with the tariffs, but that's what the Magen Avraham says. I'm not going to read now the Pnugadim and the Eish Avraham in the back there discusses what about putting up one post. Does that do anything? And make you know, something higher or some one part of it higher? You know, the roof, you put an echo of the shot, you make it a little higher. That's a question that he talks about. Then the Shabruah. Yes, people, right. That's where he got it from. I don't know. The Mishabura here, again, the same Simon Kuf Nun, we'll move to wrap up, in the Sukkotan Beis and Gimel. The Mishabura writes, First of all, he says, in general, it's an important mitzvah to build a shul. Okay, that's something else. But then he writes, he says, Sukkotnei, Govashanema Laron Beisilken, Yesh Mekomo Shainis, Yesh Mekomo Shainis Arm Bezer. That's his line. Really? I thought, anywhere? It sounds like some places are careful about it. Because Rachonim Shatam, the cave is like the Magen Avraham. The Sheyesh Sham Harbe Bote Ode Gilum Shigwam Saknesim came Belava Hileke Kelev Saknesis. But he writes, you should, if you can, you should follow this din. Why not? Okay, well, it's possible. After all, the Gemara made a big production about this. Said the city's going to be destroyed and so on. So Zohar Mishabura seems to say that one should make every effort, so to speak, to, you know, to follow this din. Just to finish up, so the Maram Shik has a tshuva in Chelek Archaim Siman Ayin Vav. Well, he mentions, okay, we're not Nizr Nadim, but he says, and whatever the reasons we mentioned some of them in the Mishnah. Magen Avraham, he says, but Lafia Nira, that's true of the town. Oh, but also Chotzer, if it's in the same courtyard where this, we don't have a system today in America of courtyards, but I already saw some of the old areas that have courtyards, you know, so in other places. So if it's in the same courtyard, so then you should really be mocking. It's one thing to say elsewhere in the town, okay, well, you know, the Garden of Buildings, but if it's in the same courtyard where the shul is, so he says the Mamar Shikhtan is that's not right. It should be mocked for the din in those places. And the Milchus Elazar, Mulkach, has a tshuva in Chelik Aleph, his tshuva is Simon Nun Zion. He was asked if someone had a house that's higher, so you put a flagpole up. Make a big flagpole, that'll be higher. People have flagpoles. Make a flagpole, that'll be higher. Okay? And so he discusses some of the elements that we discussed. All right? And
that
he said, what's that?
That also doesn't take care of this. That's the only cover.
Right. That's exactly right. Yep. And then he writes at the end, he says, I'm not sure if so that's a good idea. Because I was worried about the reform and other Jews, because, you know, who want to cop at the garden, they put up flagpoles. One thing they probably do, they put up the flag. So he said, you know, you might avoid this problem, but then you go into a problem you're copying. He says, yes, a sorba sedo. You know, what you gain is outweighed by what you lose, because then you're following these other characters. Just to wrap up finally, the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah, let's take a big flagpole. It's hard, but apparently the those who come to the Goyim, the Church of the Reform, did it by the Shul too, so he doesn't like that so much. And so finally, the Aruch HaShulchan, and again, the same Simon Kuf Nun writes. He says, apparently, you look in the Gemara, he discussed this. Apparently, it's not just the din of kavod, that the shul should be the biggest, okay? Because if the din of kavod, so then what would it matter that there are towers and fortresses that are not used? Who cares about using? It's still not a kavodic. Shul's not the highest. Ela tam kidei shishtam shidal gag, basically, yamad lamalam gag. That's again, it gets the din of avoiding bijonah. So he mentions both aspects, all right? Now, he says that though, the Rambam has a whole different din, because the Rambam, remember his language, pointed out to you, Kishabonim Beis HaKnesses, right? Kishabonim Beis HaKnesses, you're building it as a shul, all right? So, and the Rambam didn't bring in the business of the wall, the cities, and so on and so forth, and he said, because we don't have those today, all right? But he said, I will call me, binyan also atam ne'a kovad bilvad, shengavo yosim kol v'yadam shu'ir, v'chein kosu chatzim, v'logagos, and so on, and he says, v'fizeh gam begagin shalonu osir, I don't know why the poskim don't make a big deal about it. But again, we gave several answers. But you see, they're not so thrilled with all the answers. There's two contemporary works. The sefer called Stucco Mishpat. This is written by Stucco Mishpat Hilchos Stucco by Sixop Hilchos Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash from Yaakov Yeshaya Blau, who passed away not that long ago. Big Talmud Chacham wrote the 10-volume set on Choshen Mishpat Inyanim. He wrote on Mikvos and on Mezuzah and all kinds of different things. It's one of these Svarim that has, you know, a few lines at the top and tons of footnotes at the bottom. It's a very thorough and comprehensive work. So in Perek Yud Aleph, in the footnote Yud Beis, he gives some of the terutzim, but he acknowledges. He thinks that you know, all the reasons are not that good. He just doesn't like them. He says, well, you know, he says that L'maisa lo ra'isin is harm is that. Okay, there's no law against it, there's no persecution and so on and so forth. And on Uroim, Shekavanos, Bechatzos, Shenivnu, Bekam, Mekomos, Alperes Yisrael. I'm sorry, on Uroim, Shunos, neighborhoods, and Chatzeros, courtyards, in many places, even at Yisrael. I think Dole Ador, I mean, you know, Dole Ador lived there. Not really satisfied with any of the answers why we're so making it. So, you know, it's a good idea, I suppose, I just want to suggest, I'll read the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, which is a collection of, you know, what all the Achronim say on different parts of Shavara. So this Simon Kufnen is Nun and Ozayin. He gives some of my comments that we mentioned, other things he says. But he writes, what someone else said. Nowadays, at one time, you know, when I guess building was limited, so something had status because of its height. He says in Ozay over here, Tachlis HaKavona, okay, Tachlis HaKavona, it's more grand and beautiful. L'chein bizmanenu she'ein hayofi nimdad kol kach begova binyan. We don't look so much at the height of the building. Ela be'ikar b'chazuz chitzon, it's the outer presentation, so to speak, of the shul. Hamudaris min hayofi v'chein. In bolei b'yofi yosmi kol batei ha'chashuvim, ha'batei ha'toshovim, yotzim yidei chova. If you build the shul as a beautiful structure, it doesn't matter that it's not higher. Okay, but the outward appearance of the shul should stand out. That's why. Yeah, and I think that's a, you know, again, I saw somebody else wanted to say you know, that maybe because of Goas, we're afraid, even if we're not afraid today, but it's like, I saw someone made a dimin to light the Hanukkah candles indoors. Right? The original din of the Gemara said light the Hanukkah candles outdoors. Now we light indoors. What do you mean? But today we don't have that same concern of persecution and so on and so forth. Okay, but some say once it didn't change or it was done differently, it's done differently. So you could say the same thing here. But this answer, I think, is a valid answer. He's saying that today, you know, we don't judge things by the height. That's not what beauty is. Okay, the standard of beauty is this. So we have the opportunity. So Taka, the shul building should, at the outside, be more beautiful and more attractive, stand out more so, and then we yotzei this din. That's why I think it's, you know, certainly if it's an inyan of kavod. If it's an inyan of bizayon, none of this helps. But if we said an inyan of bizayon, there's only part take, can we use our roofs? So if you put that together with the idea that we can show the kavod from the building of the shul in other ways, other than through its height, which we can, so then the whole din wouldn't apply. So that's just a little bit of explanation. Again, this Blau is a great town hall. He said, I never saw good reason, so you know, who am I? But it seems to me that based on what this says here in this Piskei Tshuvos, and he quotes a sefer that I'm not familiar with, Orech Neman and so on, whatever it is, he says that it's, I think it's a reasonable approach for nowadays. Okay.
So you're saying a window, looking at a high window, is the same as looking at the roof?
Well,